Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, April 15th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. All right, we got two seasons wrapping up, and actually, I guess three seasons if you count men's basketball, because that ended last Monday. And we've got one in full swing, so lots and lots to get to. As always, starting with baseball, as we are in full swing for that one. Get it? So starting off the week, the Astros evened up their Texas rivalry series with a win over the Rangers 10-5. The Pirates right fielder Brian Reynolds got his 100th career home run, aiding in their win over the Tigers. That is the Pittsburgh team's third straight win. It would end, though, the next day as they would drop one to the same team, the Detroit Tigers. The Reds held off the Brewers, winning 10-8, including an in-the-park home run. I always like to mention those because those are very rare. Snell, who made his Giants debut, he is a pitcher, on Monday night against the Nationals, and man, it was not good. So even though he is a Cy Young Award winner and one of the best, most well-known pitchers, not working his magic for San Francisco. Nationals win that game 8-1. Tuesday, the Royals won their fifth straight win, this time against the Astros. The Houston team did make it to extra innings before dropping that game to KC. Kansas City's game on Thursday versus the Astros was an easy one, though, with a 9-run first inning to cruise to a W. They would go on to sweep the Astros, taking 7 straight games. However, that would then come to an end on Friday. The Mets handed them a loss 6-1 to break that 7-game winning streak. The White Sox finally shook their 5-loss streak on Tuesday against the Guardians. They won 5-7. Dodgers pitcher Glasnow got a career-high tying 14 Ks, or strikeouts, in their win over the Twins. They won 6-3. The Mariners beat the Blue Jays in extra innings on Wednesday to avoid the sweep. Guardians brothers Bo and Josh Naylor hit a home run in the same inning. They would go on to beat the White Sox in extra innings 7-6. In a big upset, the Marlins get their second win of the year over a good 10-win Yankee team. Kind of surprised that that's the team they get it from. Thursday, the Mets destroyed the Braves 16-4. Benches cleared in Friday's game between the Brewers and the Oilers. The Brewers are in the news a lot, but not really for great reasons. McCann and Adams were getting into each other's faces, but ultimately the Brewers get the last laugh, winning 11-1. The Cardinals star hitter Nolan Arenado hit a 3-run home run 425 feet, which I believe is the longest of the season so far, in their win over the Diamondbacks 9-6. Two games that day went into extra innings. The A's win in a walk-off in the walk-off first for Butler in the 10th. Then the Padres beat the Dodgers in 11. The Dodgers were up 7-3 after the third, but the Padres came back, putting three up alone in the seventh to force extra innings and ultimately get the win. Speaking of extra innings, the Twins Tigers had a doubleheader on Saturday, and the first of that doubleheader went into 12 innings. Yikes. Makes for a super long day. Tigers pitcher Zach McKinstry had a bad 12th inning, would be the biggest understatement I've ever seen. He gave up 3 runs on an error in the field and then gave up 3 more as a pitcher in the 12th to drop the game. The Twins would also go on to win game 2 that day as well. Pirates DH Andrew McCutchen hit his 300th home run of his career, leading his team to easily win over the Phillies 9-2 on Sunday. And back in the news again, Giants pitcher Blake Snell returned to the mound on Sunday, but it was also a struggle. Snell gave up 7 runs, 2 of which were home runs, in just 4 innings, causing his team to lose 9-4 to the Rays. The Guardians got a walk off in the 10th inning to beat the Yankees 8-7, despite having 3 less hits than the New York team. And then you may recognize this name. Orioles' new second baseman, Jackson Holliday, got his first major league hit in their game on Sunday night. The Orioles rallied to win 6-4 over the Brewers, who fell just short of the sweep. Again, you might recognize that Holliday name or because he is the son of MLB All-Star Matt Holliday. He was taken as first overall draft pick in the 2022 draft, and he has the largest signing bonus of any high schooler ever at $8.19 million. Moving along to the NBA, as it was the final week of regular season, there were actually no games on Monday. Tuesday saw a high-scoring affair in the Pacers' win over the Raptors. Their final score was 140-123. Giannis and the Bucks beat the Celtics to stop their 4-game losing streak. The Celtics shot 0 free throws, the first team to do so. Anthony Edwards put up 51 points in the Timberwolves game over the Wizards. That is a career high for him. The Lakers-Warriors game was dominated by the Warriors, who won every quarter except the last and hit 26 three-pointers to win by 14. The Heat versus the Hawks game was a tale of two halves, with the Heat leading by 12 at half, but the Hawks came back in the second half to take the game into overtime. The Hawks looked to have it when the Heat's Highsmith threw up a 25-foot three-pointer to make it even with 46 seconds to go. The Hawks would miss their next two opportunities, so we go into second overtime, but second overtime was all Heat, who get the win by 6. The Knicks then toppled the Celtics, thanks in big part to Brunson's 39 points. The Bucks have lost 8 of their last 11 games, while the Knicks have won 6 of their last 7. KAT returned for the Timberwolves on Friday, and thank goodness, because they needed all the points they could get, they only beat the Hawks by 3. The Warriors then had the Pelicans' shooting guard McCollum put up 8 three-pointers against them by himself, so kind of got the tables turned on them. The New Orleans team wins by 5. Also that same night, Celtics beat the Hornets for their 10th win by 30-plus points. The Suns beat the Kings in a close one as well that same night. And then speaking of close ones, the Nuggets were destroying the Spurs at half by 18 points. At one point, the San Antonio team was down by 22, and they started to slowly chip away at that lead, still trailing by 13 at the start of the fourth. It would become a one-score game in the final 3 minutes of the game. Then Jokic missed a jumper and the Spurs would take the lead with 0.2 seconds left with a nice floater. It went final after the Nuggets got a 5-second violation at the same time as that shot. That means the Nuggets are tied with the Thunder and the Timberwolves for the top of the West with a record of 56 wins and 25 losses going into the weekend. In the final day of regular season, the Spurs beat the Pistons to clinch their 22nd win of the season. The Hornets upset the Cavaliers by 10. The Magic killed the Bucks in the final game of at home, winning by 25. The Lakers upset the Pelicans by 16, thanks to a 40-point second quarter. The Rockets upset the Clippers, but let's get to really, really matters, which was let's get to the drama in the West. All three teams were in action, and I just told you they were tied going into the weekend. The Suns came out hot, putting up 44 in their first quarter. They also bookended their game to beat the Timberwolves by 19. So the Minnesota team is out of the conference race. The Nuggets had the easiest test, only having to beat the injured and limping along Grizzlies, which they did also by 15, so double digits. And the Thunder had a harder test with the Mavericks, but man, it didn't look hard. The Thunder won by 49 with no one on the team scoring more than 15 by themselves. With that, the Oklahoma City team wins the West. Now that the season is over, let's go over the final standings. So the Celtics won the East with the Magic and the Bucks winning their other divisions under the Boston team. The Knicks, Cavaliers, and Pacers all made playoffs, while the 76ers, Heat, Bulls, and Hawks will be in the play-in games. The Nets, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, and Pistons are done. They go home. Season over for them. Then we just went into who won the hotly contested West. The Thunder win the tiebreakers over the Nuggets. The Clippers and the Mavericks won their divisions. The Suns and the Timberwolves are still in playoffs. And then the Pelicans, Lakers, Kings, and Warriors will be in some play-in games. Some superstar talent there in play-in games there. And then the poor Pelicans lost their auto playoff bid by tiebreakers with the Suns. Moving along to NCAA, what happened last Monday? It was obviously last week. It was literally while I was trying to get out the podcast, but the national championship and March Madness came to an end. It was the 10th meeting of the number one versus number one team in the finale, and the Huskies were not to be denied. For the first time since 2006, we have a back-to-back champion in the UConn Huskies. Purdue scored 30 points in both halves, but the Huskies took the lead just 8 minutes into the game and never gave it back. They ultimately won by 15 points. UConn won all of its tournament games by double digits again this year. Purdue star Zach Heady had 61% of Purdue's total points for the entire team. Purdue is now the team with the most tournament wins without a title. Also catching up on some women's basketball, the women's championship brought in 24 million views. That is the highest basketball game watched in the last 5 years, including the NBA finals games. Also, Iowa is retiring Caitlin Clark's number 22. And speaking of retiring, Stanford head coach Tara Vanderveer is retiring after this season. After she became the winningest coach of all time, she has coached for 38 seasons. Tiny bit of football news for you today. O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76 of cancer. If you're like, why is this in a sports podcast? That is because he played 11 years in the NFL and is generally considered one of the best running backs of all time. He won the Heisman for USC in college and went overall number one to the Bills. However, his criminal past overshadowed his accolades on the field. And by criminal past, I mean kidnapping, wrongful death, tax evasion, weapons, and assault. So if you want more on that, check out like a Wikipedia page or something. So I'm not going to go over all his criminal history because it's too long, people. Moving along to one of the major stories and major headlines of the weekend. This year, the Masters had everything. Tiger Woods made the cut, crazy wind on Friday, making sand fly everywhere and out of bunkers. One of the highest rounds ever in the tournament with a field at over 325 over par, a tight leaderboard, and an emerging star. Scottie Scheffler gave up his green jacket last year and gave it to Jon Rahm, but he wanted it back and he played like it on Sunday. He was in the lead by one shot going into the final round and he pulled away from the field on the back nine. Every time you started to think, oh, the field was going to catch him or he was hitting a slump Saturday, Scheffler would bounce back. He birdied 6 of the last 10 holes to win by 4 shots over Masters rookie and Swedish golfer Ludvig Åberg, who played well with a huge smile on his face all day Sunday. Scottie is only the second golfer to win 2 Masters titles in just 5 starts. The quickest was done in 3. Only 4 golfers have ever won the Masters by 3 or more strokes twice. Scotty has now won 9 times on the PGA Tour, and I think we are just getting started. Only 14 golfers were under par going into the weekend, so the cut was actually sitting at +6. That is top 50 and ties make it to the weekend. After Friday's round, it was actually Homa, Scheffler, and Max Homa, Scottie Scheffler, and Bryson DeChambeau at the top of the leaderboard going into the weekend. And then Tiger actually made the weekend, but then shot his worst 72-hole score ever on this course, finishing dead last at 16 over par. Absolutely could not be more thrilled for Scotty. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I know if you are loyal followers of the podcast, you know how close I am with him and his family. So super, super happy for him there. And his wife was actually not in attendance, as she is due any day now. And he did say, even as he was leading going into the final round, that if she went into labor, he would go home. So nice that he didn't have to make that choice. But hopefully he will be 2-time Masters champ and a new father very, very soon. I actually have a little bit of hockey news as well, because that season is also coming to a close. But we had big news as the Arizona Coyotes players were told that they were moving to Salt Lake City on Friday. So it is official. Their name also could change from the Coyotes if they choose to do so. They will be playing at the Delta Center until a new downtown arena can be built. The Coyotes have played in 3 different venues since 1996 when they moved from Winnipeg. So now they will be the Salt Lake City Coyotes. Also, like I said, in the NHL, as we approach the final week of regular season, let's go over the standings. And playoffs do begin on April 20th and run through June 24th. In the East, the Rangers, Hurricanes, Bruins, Panthers, Maple Leafs, and Lightning have all secured their spot, while the Sabres, Devils, Senators, Canadiens, and Blue Jackets have been eliminated. That leaves the Islanders, the Capitals, the Red Wings, the Flyers, and the Penguins all still in the hunt. In the West, everything has been decided. The Stars clinched their division as the only ones to do so. The Canucks, Jets, Avalanche, Oilers, Predators, Kings, and Golden Knights are in playoffs, and the Wild, Kraken, Flames, Coyotes, Ducks, Blackhawks, and Sharks have been eliminated from postseason. Also, in the Women's World Hockey Championships, we went over it a little bit last week. Following up on that story, the gold medal match was not to be missed. Team USA versus Team Canada. The two teams have met 21 in the last 22 tournaments. The only time that didn't happen was 2019. Team USA has won 10, while Canada has won 12. But the United States have the edge in head-to-head competition with a record of 18-17, with both teams having 98 goals against each other. That is an even matchup, y'all. But Canada gets the better of USA on this one. The game was back and forth. The United States scored twice in less than 6 minutes in the second period, but the game ended up going to overtime, where our neighbor to the north put the final goal in to win 6-5. Finland also beat the Czech Republic in a shootout for bronze. Moving along to a little bit of Olympic news, and by a little bit, I mean a lot of track news and not a lot of everything else. World Athletics has said they will be offering $50,000 for any gold medalist at the Paris Olympics. That makes them the first to ever offer prize money at the Olympic Games. Relays will split that amount between its members. The USOPC has said that they will pay winners of the Tokyo Games $37,500 for a gold medal. Singapore, though, topped that and has said they will pay $1 million to anyone who brings home a gold medal for them. That is because they've only had one ever, so I think they're kind of getting their point across, but it still made me chuckle. Kind of different that now the Olympic Games are starting to even see prize money. This was notoriously an amateur sport for the longest time, so kind of cool that we're getting to see that flip. Nike also has some explaining to do after they revealed their new Team USA uniforms for track and field. The men's is fine, but the women's showed a really high bikini line on their brief bottoms. While there are other options for this time of the Olympics, many athletes voiced concerns. In 2020, they only had the option of a brief, but in this Olympic kit, there will be actually 12 different styles for competition and 50 apparel pieces. But it still raised the question of sexist uniforms, which obviously is starting to become a thing with New Zealand hockey, field hockey, who said they didn't want to wear skirts, and the beach volleyball having to wear bikinis when the men get to wear normal clothes. So it's all just revolving around that same issue. I've heard positives and negatives from both. One of our pole vaulters, Katie Moon, said, "Don't judge me for wearing what I want. I actually like that piece." There is, like I said, there is a shorts option as well as like a swishy shorts option. So it's not the only thing they have to wear, but it did cause some hubbub for sure. Lithuanian thrower Mykolas Alekna broke the world record in the discus on Sunday in the Oklahoma Throws series. I'm not going to lie, I didn't even know that was a thing. The junior at Cal threw 243 feet and 11 inches, or 74 meters, 0.35, which broke the world record set back in 1986. It is one of the oldest world records still in existence. I think it is actually the oldest of the men's, which was set by German Jürgen Schult, and he broke it by 11 inches. So congratulations there. That is still going through the ratification process as well. And then also still in track and field news, Venezuelan Yulimar Yohas tore her Achilles on Friday and therefore will miss the Paris Olympics. She is the defending gold medalist in the Olympics for the triple jump. So it looks like we will have a new champ there. Also, not track and field news, but women's elite rugby was announced that they will have their first debut season in 2025, making it the first professional women's rugby league in the entire world. And I also have soccer news this time. The U.S. women's national team won the She Believes Cup for the fifth consecutive time. But man, this game was a sweat. Team USA played Canada, so in two different World Cups, basically this week, hockey and soccer. And they played Canada in the final, and they were trailing until just before the 50th minute. Then the United States went up 2-1 in the 70th minute, but had a penalty kick for Canada in the 86th that would tie it up and take us into extra time. We had no change, so we head into a penalty shootout. Canada went up first with PKs within the PKs too, after Dennis Rodman's daughter missed our first for the United States. But goalie Nayer was on fire, stopping three Canadian attempts to give the United States the 5-4 win in PK fashion. The United States won their fifth ever She Believes Cup and their fifth straight. Also, the Nigerian women's soccer team will be in the Olympics after they upset South Africa 1-0 in their tournament recently. This is the first time you will see Nigerian women since the 2008 Beijing Games, and they will actually be in the Olympics this time, so kind of nice. That is it for what happened over the last week. Now let's go on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. In MLB baseball, Tuesday, catch the Braves at the Astros at 7:10 on TBS. That will be a pitching showdown between Lopez and Brown. On Thursday, the Diamondbacks take on the Giants at 8:45 on Fox Sports 1. That will be Nelson versus Webb. On Saturday, the Mets take on the Dodgers at 3:05 on Fox Sports 1. And then on Sunday, the Rangers take on the Braves at 6 on ESPN. In the world of baseball and softball for NCAA, we've got a lot of ranked first ranked matchups, mostly towards the weekend, but we start on Monday with some softball. Number 12, Texas A&M versus 13, Alabama at 6 on SEC Network. Then on Tuesday, 14, Arkansas versus 25, South Carolina at 1:30 on ESPNU. Then on Thursday, we get some baseball matchups. Number 3, Texas A&M versus 25, Alabama at 6 on SEC Network, followed by 24, Florida versus 6, Vandy at 6:30 on ESPNU. We have one apiece on Friday. Softball number 6, LSU takes on 4, Tennessee in a big top 10 matchup. They will play at 5 on SEC Network. And then in the world of baseball, Florida number 24 takes on 6, Vandy in their second game of that series at 6 on ESPN2. On Saturday, 4 ranked first ranked softball games, and then same on Sunday. So Saturday, 25, South Carolina versus 9, Florida. They will play at 11 a.m. on SEC Network. Then 6, LSU versus 4, Tennessee at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. 15, Mizzou versus 8, Georgia at 1 on SEC Network. And then 13, Alabama versus 14, Arkansas at 8 on SEC Network. on Sunday, you get three of those same matchups. So 25 South Carolina, 9 Florida, 10:30 on SEC, 6 LSU versus 4 Tennessee at 1 on ESPN2, 13 Alabama versus 14 Arkansas at 1 on ESPNU, and a new one. So number 11, UCLA versus 7 Stanford at 3 on ESPN2. That season is in full swing. Super excited for that season to get rolling. In NBA, we got our play-in as playoffs officially start, but play-in games will start Tuesday. Play-ins in the West, the Lakers at the Pelicans at 6:30 on TNT, and then the Warriors at the Kings at 9. On Wednesday, the play-in games for the East, the Heat at the 76ers at 6 on ESPN, followed by the Hawks at the Bulls at 8:30. And then we've got the finale of the play-in games, so it's a tournament style. So the winners of the play-in East games will play on Friday. That will be at TBD on ESPN. And then the West will be after that. The two winners of the West, obviously that happened on Tuesday, they will play, and that you can catch that game on TNT. In the football world, for the UFL games, we've got three on Saturday. The Memphis Showboats at the St. Louis Battlehawks at 11:30 a.m. on ABC, followed by the DC Defenders at the Birmingham Stallions at 6 on Fox, as well as the Michigan Panthers at the San Antonio Brahmas at 6, also on Fox, depending on your geographical location. On Sunday, the Arlington Renegades take on the Houston Roughnecks in a battle of what was last year's championship at 1 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Lots of golf going on this weekend. We've got two different PGA Tour tournaments, as well as the LPGA actually on regular scheduled TV. So Thursday, the Putacana Championship is PGA Tour. Round one will begin at 7 a.m. on Golf Channel. They will only be on Golf Channel. Then the RBC Heritage Round 1 for the PGA Tour will be at 1 on Golf Channel. Same exact schedule for round twos on Friday. Saturday, you catch the RBC Heritage Round 3. That will be at noon on Golf Channel, then transfer over to CBS at 2. The LPGA Chevron Championship will be featured on NBC at 2 o'clock as well. Or at 2 o'clock, you can also tune in to the third round of the Putacana Championship for the rest of the PGA Tour. Same exact schedule on Sunday. So RBC Heritage final round at noon on Golf Channel, 2 at CBS. 2 on NBC is the Chevron Championship for the LPGA Tour, and 2 on Golf Channel is the Putacana Championship. The last of the regular season in the NHL is happening this week. Monday, the Wild at the Rangers at 8:30 on ESPN. Tuesday, the Maple Leafs at the Panthers at 6:30 on ESPN. Wednesday, the Maple Leafs at the Lightning at 6 on TNT, followed by the Blues at the Stars at 8:30. And wrapping up regular season, the Kraken at the Wild at 6 on ESPN, and the Oilers at the Avalanche at 8:30. Games are slated to start for playoffs on Saturday, but that is all TBD at the moment. Also this week is the Lenovo China Grand Prix for Formula One. That race will be Sunday at 2 a.m. on ESPN. So if you're still at the bars, feel free to flick it over to ESPN and watch that. Also for Olympic sports, this week is Women's Gymnastics Championships. So the national championship this week, that will begin on Thursday with the afternoon session at 3:30 on ESPN2 and the evening session at 8. On Friday night, the actual finale of the afternoon session will begin at 2 on ESPNU, and then we'll switch over to the evening session will be at noon on ESPN2, and then the evening session will be at 2 on ESPNU as well. We also have wrestling. U.S. Olympic Trials Day 1 will be Friday at 5:30 on USA, with Day 2 on Saturday. And then a little bit of track and field. Diamond League will be back in action at noon on CNBC. That wraps it up for me this week. So as the NHL and the NBA wrap up their seasons and go into the postseason, the season is just beginning for the MLB and major championship season for the PGA Tour. I, of course, will keep you updated on all of it. Check out the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports, for more games and times. And I will catch y'all next week.